And I think you might be finally seeing that. It just took me 25 years instead of 10.
I want you to explain a little bit more on the pasture to plate concept, because ever since the Joseph family have had cattle and have had the restaurant, that's kind of been the theme, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talked about this a little bit before. The pasture to the plate, you'll see that, you know, a farm to table, that marketing strategy done all over the metros. You know, you don't see it in rural Nebraska as much. And what I'll say to people about that, you know, they said, well, why wouldn't you? That it makes more sense. Well, truly, we don't need to. You know, this is, Nebraska is the confluence of the cleanest, most of abundant water. We're close to all the best grains in the world. And we have rolling hills of pasture for cattle to exist on. And so all the best beef is here. There's no reason when someone comes to the pepper mill for that steak to have a name. You are in, you know, essentially when you go to Maine for lobster, you're there, you're here. Whereas, you know, you get to, you know, Memphis, Tennessee, they might want to know, you know, that is, or you, I've had people have sent me an actual menu from Portugal where it says Nebraska corn-fed beef. Mm-hmm. And so that's the story they need to tell. California is definitely that way. A lot of beef going that way. And to the Far East. And so Nebraskans have done a great job of marketing that. But here, it's already just by default ranch to table. When I buy from my meat from Scotty, he's getting it mostly from Dakota City, and it was almost certainly raised out here. So, and that is our farm to table. But just the relationship that we've had with the beef cow and understanding the people that walk in the door, what they've been through, you know, what their boots smell like. We're like, well, we know what they did today,
right?
You know, or what's mounted on the flatbed on that particular day. I think there's just a more of a complete understanding of the rancher that we've had, whether we experience them, you know, over a cup of coffee or the dinner, or their wild and woolly employees came to town for the dance every Friday night in the 90s.
That was a
whole different interaction with the American rancher.
Well, Robert, is there any specific family member or an ancestor who you feel was especially important in establishing your family's legacy in the area?
Yeah, it's Bill Joseph. I mean, every time I can't say enough about how Dad fought back in the shadows, essentially. You know, he raising those short-term cattle at what is the Prairie Club now, believe it or not, is where a lot of the Joseph comeback story in agriculture came from. But Grandpa just having the ingenuity and the guts to go to town and get the job. If you're familiar, you can play at this, you know, sometime during the day when this airs, but the Sawyer Brown song, Cafe on the Corner, it is a real melancholy tune about it wasn't working in ag, and I had to come and get this job at this restaurant, and he's 50 years old, and that's exactly the age Grandpa was and during that time. So if you get a chance to listen to that song, it means a lot to my family that way, and Dad kind of did the same thing, and used it as a means to an end. But Grandpa was always the face, and he was always moving, man. He got in the hotel business with the Young and Adamson family and built the Comfort Inn, and then of course the Dunes Hotel and Econo Lodge, and then he built a hotel on top of a hotel at Dunes, which I think is still the craziest thing, you know. But was just incredibly successful, taking chances. And the one thing, he helped me, essentially the general contractor for the new pepper mill. It was a fight every day. You know, nobody would finance us to do that. You know, we were begging here and there and knocking on doors. But during the whole time, they had to be nailing boards together. And so we were building with materials that have not yet been paid for. And that's just the way he was. He didn't always ask permission from a bank. And I think too often, you know, we're beholden to that you just can't really live out a dream of what you want to do because you almost have to prepay for it. Now, would I suggest doing what we did to build that? Not one, but it just really stuck on me. And I think you're seeing that play itself out in the William R. Fraternal Hall project in that I don't know that, you know, if it got done tomorrow, and I had to write the check for everything, I wouldn't have it. You know, there's going to have to be some ingenuity. I'm going to have to do some of my own work. And it's just something Bill would have done. And so that's, you know, why I've kept it his namesake. And the financing is a little easier for me. We haven't got too far yet because it didn't even have windows and doors. But through that process, waiting for some of that, we've created our own construction company. And I think that's very much something, you know, Grandpa Bill would have done. Like, well, boys, we're not working on this. You're going to go redo someone's bathroom and then we're going to replace some windows. And so now we're to a point with First Cut where we've worked on our eighth and now have bid work on a ninth building just on Valentine's Main Street. You know, we've done everything from something as small as putting windows in to creating a new office to creating a whole new set of two businesses at the old Cody Foster building. And so I'm very proud of that. And that is where I feel at home. And we're not there yet. I will not put myself in the company of Valentine's or any community's best contractors, but I'm very good at putting together people and the logistics of getting it. And the people that work for me are really good at their craft. And I think that was Grandpa's vein all the time. And so hopefully in a new era of the Joseph family, my kids are paying attention that building the old to the new is something that they can appreciate and we can do going forward.
If you could ask one of your ancestors, maybe it's Grandpa Bill, about their experience, what item would you want to know the most?
Well, there's one thing for sure that's an aside. We can ask somebody local. They know. I think Scott Grooms knows. Down by Berry Bridge, I believe, Grandpa John's wife, who was related to the Taylor family. So I'm very intertwined in here. She fell through the ice during the winter down there and was saved by one of the groom's family. And if that doesn't happen, we're not talking, you know? And so that's such an interesting story that I'd never heard much from my family, but I might've heard it from Scott. And so that's where I would want to go back and talk to Grandpa John Joseph. And also, you know, I knew him when he was in his 90s, you know, for the most part. He was able to communicate really well, you know, up until the end, but just asking him more about that particular incident and just the evolution of growing up on the Niobrara River and selling, you know, all kinds of whatnot to whomever would come off the railroad, and then, you know, speaking Lebanese and English and Lakota. I never heard him speak anything but English. So if I could have just one time, you know, always ask your grandparents the questions why they're alive. I was pretty good at that, but everybody should always ask more.
Make sure you archive that somewhere.
Yeah.
So what would you hope that future generations, you've got a couple of kids that are coming up now and active in all kinds of things, what would you want that those future generations remember the most about your family story?
I'd really like them to understand just the, it's almost a competitive drive that is so persistent that the things that I do, that my grandpa did, that dad did, take an everyday focus that is completely uncommon. You know, I really feel the whole cliche, you can do anything you put your mind to. That's not necessarily true. You and I, you know, might be skydiving champions, but I don't think just putting our minds, we would have to be so relentless at something that we were going to do. And that's what we've been known for. That's what we've done. That's not possible, but, we've never done anything that's giant legacy. We've never built multi-billion dollar multinational companies. But within our communities, I feel like we've made a really good difference and still made, time to, you know, be with our families and coach the local wrestling team.
There you go. Well, Robert, we could go on because there's a lot of other questions that popped up in my mind about I could ask you and follow up on there, but we're kind of out of time for this first section. So we might have to do a part two with you down the road somewhere and talk more about First Cut Construction and the Drawbar coming up, the whole William R. Fraternal Hall project. But thank you for being our first guest on the Sandhill Stories.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to tell ours.